Yo.
Yo.
Right. Price.
Dave.
PayPal. Crypto holdings increasing. Bank of England saying crypto doesn't fulfill any functions of money. Goldman Sachs, Microsoft, etc. launching a blockchain.
That's cute.
Yeah. Twitter CEO, new lady in place. Florida governor signs CBDC. Bill into law. Binance calls it quits in Canada. Bank of England economist regrets urging people to accept they're poorer. At least he acknowledges, I guess. Consumer cryptocurrency trading should be regulated as gambling by the Treasury Committee in the UK, according to them. And then we've got some Coin Corner news as well and some questions to touch.
Loads of Coin Corner news.
That agenda was
long.
It is a long agenda, yeah. Jeez. We'll have to work through it quickly because we've got quite a few questions at the end.
Buckle in.
We haven't done it for a while.
You haven't even mentioned the book review.
We haven't even mentioned the book. We're all back together.
We're not doing
it. Open at the top with a book review. What a fantastic book.
It was fantastic.
Do we care about that?
Do we care?
Yeah.
Fundamentally, you should very much care.
I have no idea what book it is. So.
Can you remember the title?
We didn't Hidden Repressions.
Hidden Repressions by Alex Gladstein.
Okay.
It's brilliant. Me and Zach have both read it. It's about the manipulation of... loans from the IMF and the World Bank to third world countries.
I would like to read it.
Enslaving them with debt.
Yeah, but I can't read.
Do I give you what?
I need it on audio.
I mean, but yeah, but I could, like, the size of the book, I could literally just record me reading it.
If you could do that, that'd be great.
I'd love the power of that in terms of if I'm playing, I'm the voice in your car.
Telling the wrong things.
Speak to you all day and then constantly in your head. Yeah, I'd like that.
You could probably read it, and then there's some audio AI now. You can overlay someone else's voice, get Gladstein's voice.
Yeah,
they'll be like, "That's a good idea."
You get like the Rock's voice or something, and that'd be great.
Gladstein, the Rock.
The Rock's way more impressive. Let's not.
Anyway, you were extremely eye-opening book. Do you know 80% of Nigeria's yearly revenue is spent on debt interest repayment? 80%.
80%.
That's so bad. All their tax income, so they can't put it to anything else.
What's that in comparison to the UK or the US?
That's a huge, like, but I haven't got the comparables. But
normally you say you need a comparable.
It's certainly
stick up north.
Thank you, Mikey.
I will take that because I do always ask for comparables. But it'll be like nowhere near like the UK and America are the guys writing the loans, so that it's basically creating a debt spiral for all these countries that they can't get out of. And even if you were a despot dictator of some nation, you would get a loan from the IMF. They love dictators.
Yeah, that was a big eye opener.
If you absolutely dwindle it away, get rid of it, waste it, fraudulently spend it, the country is still the one that's in debt to the IMF. They won't escape that loan.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely astounding who they would give loans to. There's
their willingness to work with
them. There is no culpable. But imagine a bank doing that. It's like a bank giving out a loan to a gangster.
Yeah.
And then everyone in that gangster's family or that gangster's country essentially has to repay it. It doesn't matter. There's no consequence to the IMF. Mm. It's absolutely outstanding. The level of debt that's being created, the interest payments that are being generated.
Yeah.
It's creating a huge demand for the US dollar, by the way.
Yeah. Just what like an operation they've got going of. They give out the loan and then they have to force them to focus on exports or building roads so they can get all their what they call cash crops out of the country.
So most of these loans stipulate that you cannot raise the minimum wage in that country and you cannot spend it on healthcare in that country because it has to be focused on exports that are required by the richer nations that are underwriting the loans. Mm-hmm. So the richer nations, European, America, Japan, all are putting capital way back in the 40s, but they do it all. They do stock up the capital of it. But it's disproportionate to their economies themselves. But then they manipulate the structure of the loan so that, like, basically it's taking assets out of Africa for batteries, a lot of the battery stuff, a lot of the raw materials. So it's exported to them at a better, cheaper rate that they can then sell on, predominantly back to those countries, like food. A lot of food production has really declined in those states.
Food,
and they import it from these countries. But they could be, growing their own food, but it's just not incentivized enough. It's so warped. It's such a good book.
Yeah.
People need to read it. And it's,
I think linking back to Bitcoin as well, my biggest, not takeaway, but interesting thought from it was now the first one with Argentina's latest one, they stipulated that they had to take an anti-crypto stance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if that's going to be their thing going forward, mm-hmm. you know, regulatory in all these countries could actually be quite bad for the industry.
In the poorer countries that need it most.
Yeah.
So it's making it like the El Salvador sheds a new light on what El Salvador would do in terms of like, so Bitcoin is the escape route, basically. Yeah. Yeah. There's a different rate.
I think Ori in El Salvador, he doesn't touch on the book, but I had thoughts about if once Bukele's gone, someone else could come in, back to normal, mind shaking IMF loan, it's all down the drain.
And to keep Bukele in as long as you can, really, don't you, for to give it the chance it needs.
How long is a term in El Salvador? How long is he in for?
Well, he's only got a year left, is he?
Well, this is the Bay of, he shouldn't legally be allowed to run next year, but they're changing the law so he can.
You should really keep refreshing. You couldn't change that in the UK. The term is a set amount of years and you've got to get someone new in because it just...
Yeah. It is difficult, though, isn't it? Because it's a balancing act where if you just keep him in forever, it's a dictator. Whereas if you refresh him, if you've got someone good, you don't want to lose him.
You should have a good party, shouldn't you?
It shouldn't be about the individual.
A lot of the time it is, though. Most of the time it is, let's be honest.
They're just basically heading policies of a party, aren't they? It shouldn't be. Should be.
But the public see it as the figurehead and the person who that is. Like Bukele...
But the public then get a vote on it. So the party should put forward their proposals and then the people get a vote on it. It shouldn't be that, right, you don't get a choice, it's me because I think I'm doing a great job.
Yeah.
It's our consensus that he's doing a great job, but the people in El Salvador might be... not thinking that, and it's up to them.
I
think he has a good approval rate.
Yeah, his approval rates show that he is.
Well, like they shouldn't be worried about the polls, and they should have succession mandates.
He should be able to continue, is what I'm saying there. Yes. That balancing act of letting him continue,
I wouldn't let him continue.
You wouldn't?
No.
He should choose the next successor in his party.
The party should choose the next successor. So and they should have a strict the mandate would they want to get through their policies.
If something's good
and then
good
people should be able to vote on that or the alternative.
Yeah, I disagree. I think if you're doing good and it's going
who's
the right
doing
direction.
Good? Who decides who's doing good?
Well, 92% of the country that voted for
so let them
approval
vote.
Rating. So
the approval rate isn't a vote.
I know, but that's an indicator. Let's
so you just
it,
go off of an approval rating indicator instead of a democratic policies of people voting a poll.
Yes.
An approval
rating? A high level here. We're talking high level. 99% of the public in the countries don't go into depth that you're talking about there. They will see high level of what that leader is doing. Like, look at the UK.
So you're saying get rid of polls?
No, never said that.
But get rid of off. Voting.
I mean, you've already gone off agenda.
No, I think get rid of
that. Started the agenda,
that and you've
done that. We'll get back to it. But you're saying just use the opinion poll.
No, but the crux of it is...
Let's do a poll. Who's right, Danny or Dave?
Yeah, since allowing him to run again, so Danny wouldn't do a vote. There is still a vote, it's just whether he's allowed to run again, isn't it?
Which is fine. I think you should be able to run again, is what I'm saying, because...
I think you shouldn't be able to change the law to decide whether you'll run longer.
But why should he be able to change the law for anything?
Because it's for the good of the people rather than the good of the individual.
And that is for the good of the people.
But you don't know that. You're basing that on an opinion poll.
I'm basing that on what the people are saying, which is 92% saying yes.
What the people are saying.
Yeah, right, that I don't live there and I don't know, but 90% of the public there, I think it's 90%.
I've not seen an opinion poll.
They are approving of Bukele. So actually, in that scenario, then why would you go against what the people are saying?
But you're just putting a lot of reliance on an opinion poll rather than people going to the polls and actually voting.
Yeah, but what did he get voted in for this time? What was his... poll numbers this time, and then again,
I remember.
Let him run again and let the public vote again, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just think it's like in a lot of industries, if you're working in a key area, accountancy happens a lot. They make in banking, it happens a lot. They make you go on 2 weeks holidays, right? Why? Because it
shouldn't give this away.
Connect this with accounting?
Because it's to make sure that you are not committing any fraud because it would be found out. And if you've taken 2 week holiday, isolated from the business. So if Bukele can be separated from El Salvador's policies that is proving to be quite successful in El Salvador, then it highlights that it's not fraudulent. It is actually the base policies that are working. So it shouldn't be the individual.
And then why should the
not?
I agree. It's not, and you've got some new leader in.
What?
And if it's you've taken direction.
If you're taking El Salvador, if you're taking
Bukele
out,
and then it starts going the wrong direction, you say, oh, crap, let's bring him back. Because you can't, according to you.
You could run again.
But he's not allowed to, couldn't he?
He could run. He could look like he might be able to do a term afterwards.
Can he? Is he allowed to in El Salvador? I don't know
the law.
No, I don't know either.
I'm trying to think
who did it.
Mikey Thatcher.
Who did it in how often was Winston Churchill Prime Minister? Or did he just run two terms but separated? I'm trying to think of an example of someone doing
more than two.
Or not consecutive.
Mm. When you've got something good, you should be embracing that. And you shouldn't be.
Yeah, but it's
you shouldn't
it's
be saying.
Your, it's oh. your, I mean, it's your opinion on good.
It's not it should opinion. Be driven it's by a group of people, not an individual.
Yeah, which is
fine. You're saying, the party, essentially.
Which is what I'm saying. Is
so it shouldn't matter. Anyone in that party should be able to be the president.
Yeah.
And the same policy.
It shouldn't be about the individual.
And
the
it party. Shouldn't change, but it will. 100% will. It already does that in the UK. Like, look, that, it does it.
I mean, the UK is a bad example because we've had Theresa May, Boris Johnson, Sunak, and it's all just going to.
And they've all come from the same parties and they're all absolute nutcases.
Well, would you rather have Corbyn or Starmer?
Well, this is the point.
I mean, that's just an itinerary of bad examples.
Imagine if we had someone like Bukele, who we all thought was really good and got in power, and then he wasn't allowed to run for the next term, but we were going to end up back with Boris Johnson.
Because he should be making changes that would allow the party to carry on, rather than just the individual.
But once the next individual comes into power, them changes can change again.
I don't think we're ever going to agree on this. Just go around in circles.
No.
Let's do the itinerary, not your itinerary, the itinerary.
The itinerary.
The itinerary.
Because we should, like, Miami's kicking off. There's loads of stuff happening in Bitcoin. And we're arguing about
politics and
politics and an opinion polls on which we're both not really in our wheelhouse.
No.
Hmm.
So, on the agenda price, $27,365.
About to do the price.
Wow, we had that argument before the price.
It went off agenda straight away. It's like, everybody's back and he's off agenda.
That was back last week.
Yeah,
this is the full squad for the first time in 5 hours.
That was last week, weren't you? Matt's going to be off this week, but I'm here.
Yeah.
That was a quick swallow for everybody listening there.
Yes.
Some complaints about that last time.
Don't pick them up anymore, do we? AI sort out.
No, I thought I was getting rid of AI, sort of leaves them in.
It doesn't leave them in. I think I like it.
Okay.
Yeah. It adds to the authenticity. So PayPal's crypto holdings increased by 56% in Q1 2023 to nearly $1 billion. Now, I wanted to just...
Is that client holdings?
Yeah, it's not there. They don't have any.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify, everyone was jumping on this in the news. A lot of the time I just ignore these things because I can't bother commenting, especially on socials. But I think this is a good place to air it and kind of put that out there. I've not looked at the detail, their financials exactly. I'm guessing most people that have wrote these articles and people that have interacted with these articles and these news have probably not either. But it's increased 56% in Q1. From Q4 last year. Q4 last year ended up at $60,000 Bitcoin price.
You just think it's a revaluation.
Exactly. Mm. The Bitcoin price was up at like $30,000 at the end. It had nearly doubled. So an increase of 56% in Q1 to $1 billion is not exactly...
So you need to see the underlying Bitcoin holding.
Bitcoin price
to be relevant.
Since the start of the year has gone up like 70%. So they lost Bitcoin.
Can we
not
do
lost, but they actually they're holding less Bitcoin,
clear.
But the dollar value has just gone up.
Normally
don't work that out. Yeah. But that was my thought process straight away. I'm thinking like, how is nobody putting two and two together?
Just takes these things at face value.
I've not looked at their financials. Normally, you have a note of the underlying, so you could probably
Bitcoin
see it.
Got and yeah. So I think that's why I just didn't go and look at myself.
Right.
But I was curious to see.
That is like the everyday for Bitcoin-esque news, isn't it?
It's that's
a great headline.
It's bullish.
That's just all.
Yeah,
that's
no lies. The details.
Yeah, that's all news in every industry, I think, which is mad.
I would like people to actually pull out the actual details of these things and then talk about it. If it's not bullish, it's not bullish at the end of the day. Let's be honest. Let's not.
People haven't got time for that. Let's just look at the headline. But nice headline. Move on. Scroll on.
But we're falling.
Retweet.
Our industry is falling into the traps of other industries and the media out there in the world where they put a headline out that. We know full well how much they attack Bitcoin with energy and all these things without detail and at high level. And we're doing exactly the same thing back, which some people may argue that's fighting fire with fire, but I would rather be an upfront, honest industry when it comes to news and detail and things, which...
It's not as catchy, though, is it, if it's paid crypto or decreased by 50%?
Well, it just shouldn't
because
be
the price went up.
But it should just not be news.
Do you want to be that guy at the party?
I do.
Here he is. Yeah, you're right, Finn's done it.
That guy in the corner, he's like, as if he was drinking.
Bringing you back down to earth.
They've not checked the underlying finance.
Right. My guess is they're holding less Bitcoin.
I'll make that new minimum. Get out of here.
Yeah.
So maybe we can
find that out and tweet it.
It'd be interesting to see.
Okay.
And counter at deadline. But it's just...
But you're right, though.
If it has gone up 50... If their holdings of Bitcoin have gone up 56%, then that's actually really good. So that means there's a massive chunk of Bitcoin being bought there. But actually, it's just the dollar value's gone up, I think. I don't know if they define how many... Because they translate to dollar, I think, on their financials. So I'm not sure if they'll say how many Bitcoin they're holding.
Where are they registered? Delaware.
Probably Delaware.
You won't see anything.
No. Oh, well, they're a public company, so they have to put so much out, don't they? So they do put, I think, well, I saw a little snippet of it, but it just had like the dollar value of the Bitcoin and the dollar value of Ethereum and stuff. So you can't, it's gone up in the dollar value, but
okay,
what that means is
far too much time on that.
Yeah. But let's make news actual news.
Let's deliver the real news.
Bank of England fintech head says crypto doesn't fulfill any functions of money.
Bank of England crypto head?
Fintech head.
Okay,
fintech guy.
And then can we just quickly show a video of Send Globally?
That'd probably be quite useful, actually, yeah.
If you could just Send Globally, where we managed to transfer wealth across nations in instantly for pennies.
So we'll either put that in the links in the YouTube video, so you can just click that and see it.
Mike has not got enough time. Remember, he's trying to get push this out in one day.
AI will do it for us.
That's a pretty naive statement, though, for a head of fintech.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say on that. Yeah.
Everything is ridiculous of it.
Pretty naive, isn't it?
But, I mean, we've had conversations yesterday, didn't we?
Oh my god!
I cannot wait
to get onto Coin Corner News.
I wasn't going
to
bring that up.
Just wait for you to churn through this agenda. When you talk about actual stuff that we're doing, this isn't garbage headlines.
When you were talking about the IMF thing,
oh, I'll come back to the book. Yeah,
good time to jump in there.
Book will be mentioned.
The book will be mentioned. But I thought I'll hold off. I'll
start and end with the book.
Yeah, but it would also touch and relate to this as well. It's just ridiculous. But it follows on from the. IFA, the financial advisor conversations we've been having.
And the roadshow.
Various companies, yeah.
So you think we just sound crazy to people?
The roadshow.
Our roadshow, their side feels like a
shit show.
You know,
sorry for that, what did you say?
Right, so do we sound crazy?
Yeah.
In the first 5 seconds, yes.
Yeah.
We can convert them so quickly.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Mm. Well, God, I've been 5 years, Danny's been in it forever since he was a toddler.
But you
can literally just it's at the touch. You don't even delay. You've got it all. You think we've read everything. We've been so absorbed.
Yeah.
And IFA can't any question. It's just like, oh no, it's just so many misconceptions. It's so much fun.
But we must sound crazy to some people, even from afar looking in. We're rattling off about the IFA.
Well, one of my sisters has got a doctorate in renewable tactics.
Yeah.
I read that BBC article, probably not in this agenda, where there's a lot of the grid is 10 years behind.
Yeah.
So there's huge wind farm projects that can't get on the grid, but they kind of got planning and they're starting to put the footings in, but it's like we can't expect to get to no revenue. So I was phoning my sister last night. I was like, look, I've got this solar project at home.
On my shed.
I can take
the $20 million win.
It's the same thing. It is exactly the same thing. It's just a different scale. Okay, they've got more wind turbines than I've got solar panels, but it's the same thing. I can take that energy and convert it into.
Show me a mother
and ask where to plug it in. So I phoned her and was like, right, give me some contacts. You must know people. And she has, and she sent me some stuff.
Right.
But she said to me, as a civil servant, because she works for the nuclear now, and my other sister was on the call because I'd not spoken to her for 18 months accidentally.
Family catch up.
Yeah. So she was also a civil servant. They were like, it will take you about 10 years to get anything. This is a good idea. It's sensible. The grid, it'll be a bit of a race between you and the grid because it's going to take that long to get anything pushed through, even if it's a good sound idea, where you could use that isolated energy. So basically, it's got wind farms that can't connect to a grid, so you're just wasting it. Mm. But they would rather waste it and go for anyone commit all the red tape than actually just hook up miners and actually
massive oversight to build all that. without knowing you had access to the grid.
Immediately. Yeah, well.
Unless they knew it, I mean, it's a long-term plan.
Yeah, it is. Hugely complicated thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's loads of parties involved in all that, so I don't know. Maybe it does sound stupid.
Yeah.
So they've got...
Let's build this massive wind farm. We can't sell it back to the grid.
Yeah. We can't actually connect to anything. Oh, yeah.
It is annoying and has to go private. But these are all... It's good that people listening as well. This is like what we do in the background is not just... running an exchange, we are finding and talking. And
these are the things that I said to you literally the last 3 weeks. Should we talk about it? And you're like, no.
It's because they weren't here, and I know Dave's more passionate about the energy side than.
Unless you've been slagging, like.
You know what he's like. You know what he's like. We've worked on it long enough. Yes, Danny.
Down to earth. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Come back down to earth.
So, we're still on that. We're all over it at the moment. Anyway.
We've sacked that project off, but Dave thinks...
No.
You went in, Danny. We made progress.
We're on.
Have you found your stream?
No, this is something else.
Stream has pivoted.
The stream doesn't really scale. No. So for all listeners, I was looking at... I'll just quickly talk about this because we've got two minutes.
I thought you could...
So we were looking at... But the Isle of Man isn't sunny, so solar panels aren't as efficient as elsewhere. So we're looking at renewable energy sources just to run miners off as little projects just to show people how easy it is, just so that it's something tangible. We learned from the bulk card that you can show something physically. It helps people understand the concepts of Bitcoin a bit better. So if you then create a renewable mining unit, it might help, say, a farmer or someone that has no... current understanding of Bitcoin, the capabilities of what we can do. So we were looking at streams because the Isle of Man is a mountainous area that gets a lot of rain. So it does have a lot of streams, but they're so inconsistent. They haven't got a really large enough head resources where the water is high enough.
They don't hold it in the reservoirs enough.
So there's only limited reservoirs which you can't touch because it's drinking water. So it's almost, Isle of Man's almost too small to scale any sort of mining operation. Not that we still wouldn't just pick one stream that we eventually find and put a generator on it, because you can do that. But it wouldn't be scalable as a business sense.
As long as the fisheries allow it.
Yeah, so it's unbelievable. If any government department just weighed in, fisheries have an issue with a mountain stream. He's like, oh my God.
In case you damage and hurt the fish. These are all the things that you have to take into account.
There's no fish.
I didn't see a single fish in there.
But anyway, it's an ongoing project stuff. So we'll keep people updated because me and Zach are getting involved. So that was that really. So there was a BBC article this week about isolated energies.
I think it's a popular thing in the industry these days, and that's why we've been looking at it. We've been looking at it for the last year or so, really. I've been looking at it. I used to mine, 11 years ago now?
Yeah.
I understand how it all works, and I would come back to it at some point in the future, but only if it's viable. I guess financially scalability. And it's just we're always paying attention. But
I suppose from a company point of view, you have to look at scalability. This has to be a side project for us guys that we could just do it at home because it doesn't scale for CoinCon.
And if we know it can scale, we can jump in and do it. That'd be the plan. But you can't scale it in the Isle of Man realistically. Or UK, you probably can, but there's a lot more red tape and things to do with it. You have to go private, I think, for a lot of this.
Yeah. So we look at those. It's nice to be looking at that sort of space anyway, in terms of what this industry is about.
Yeah.
Anyway,
back to the agenda.
We'll get through this eventually.
But this one can be a very quick one. Goldman Sachs, Microsoft, Deloitte, and others are launching a new blockchain together. News from 2014. Yeah. Literally, I think about 2015, let's say, maybe that was probably about.
They've not already done that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Literally news from 2015.
But the same company. You're talking about the same company. Or is it IBM we're launching one?
Same company is doing the same stuff all over again. It's like, and a new back onto blockchain again. It's like, are you kidding me?
Okay.
What year is this? So it was just more of a passing comment, this one. We're not going to get into detail of that. Again, probably another bit of a passing topic, considering we've already rambled on. Twitter new CEO, Linda, no idea how you pronounce the second name.
Not going to try.
Yekaterinov.
Nailed
that. We're hating that.
Linda. Our Linda. She's going to be the new CEO of Twitter. She's actually the executive chair at the WEF.
And her background obviously is heavily related to big financial involvements. So being on the WEF board, is it, I think she's on, or whatever she is, her executive chair position. It's an interesting one, I think, knowing what Elon's trying to do with Twitter and make it this payments rail, for him to bring on the CEO from that position kind of shows his direction he's looking to go there. And it's not cryptocurrency and decentralization. It's control.
But I mean, World Economic Forum, the WEF, you know, they touch a lot of different pies, I suppose.
Yeah.
And the Twitter is ultimately a global free speech platform. So there's synergy. There's a lot of synergy.
What's the definition of free speech these days?
Yeah. There's a lot of synergies there from what she's been doing.
You have to pay for speech on Twitter these days. It's ridiculous. And then I'm following on that because I think that is just helping continue show Elon Musk's direction of what he envisions Twitter to be, which is effectively going to be some sort of payments company. It's the new PayPal, but he
needs to let it go.
He does a little bit. I think he's going in my head, creating the same mistakes over again. He could have just embraced Bitcoin, and instead he's gone and bought Twitter and trying to turn it into the next PayPal.
What makes you think he's going to turn it into the next PayPal?
Move he's done since he bought Twitter.
Oh, he's tweeted about it becoming a payments.
Oh, yeah. Has he?
When he announced the CEO, I think he said the CEO of Twitter /X, so they're going to rebrand as X at some point.
Yeah, it's X.com because he still owns that domain. And it's going to be, it was like, WeChat in China? He wanted to be, is it WeChat?
Yeah.
That does the payments and stuff. So he basically wants to clone them and be like them for the rest of the world. So he's trying to just recreate PayPal, even though, 3 years ago, he said he made a mistake with PayPal and Bitcoin was what PayPal should have been. And then now he's gone back to try and recreate PayPal again. It's just ridiculous.
Okay.
It's never a dull day with him.
He's got more money in the world he can ever have. Do something good for people. Don't just try and...
Well, he's saving the planet, mate.
Of course, he's saving the planet with them lithium mines. And
moving to Mars.
Centralized Twitter financial paying system for the world. And, you know, everything else that...
It's a multi-planetary system. The multi-planetary organism that humans have to be to survive.
I agree with that.
I got a great book, by the way, called After Man. And it's a book about... So, evolution of animals in the next 50 million years if humans didn't exist and what they'd look like. And it's just this guy who, you know, from like works in a museum. It's like a book from the 70s and he's just drawn animals what they look like.
Well, if he got
because someone sent it to me because they thought I'd like the illustrations.
I tell you what, evolution would
this is what a kangaroo will look like in 50 million years. And it's the best book ever.
The kangaroo.
I'll bring it in and you'll get it because it's like illustration from that sort of era. After Man, it's called. Or After Human. Oh, After Man, I think it's called. Yeah, the kangaroo starts. It's called the Desert Leaper.
Oh, is it just naming?
Yeah, so they change the names slightly. So it's all that.
The Desert Leaper.
Yeah, what it becomes to survive in that area after the tectonic plates move. Yeah. Very left field, but I loved it.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Yeah,
should we go past the agenda?
Yeah.
Tangents. Florida governor signs CBDC bill into law restricting some uses of US and foreign CBDCs. Definitely interesting. I think Texas are doing similar as well.
They're already reducing foreign CBDC usage.
They're restricting it in some way. I don't really know the detail of how and what they're doing there.
Right.
Is this the same guy who...
Is this DeSantis?
I think so. Yeah.
They're already trying to moat a network that doesn't yet.
No, he's very trying to kick it out.
So he wants to.
Oh, right.
Hey, that's what I'm thinking. So he's pro American CBDC, and then
he's
that's
pro- trying to put state level laws in before one even gets.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So as are Texas, I think, and I think there's somewhere else looking to do that.
Was that somewhere random? We've never heard of like.
It wasn't Montana, was it? Montana was the other one.
Australia have brought those out. I read it today, I think. Australian CBDC came from nowhere. Yeah. They might have even done some sort of payment on it. Could it even be breaking news today?
Copy and paste Bitcoin, make a payment, done.
Yeah, but imagine the publicity if you're a politician.
Yeah,
got it done.
That's what
got it over the line.
Yeah. Got water with the line. A prototype is something that'll never work. Mm.
Back to the book, though, the IMF.
This wasn't in the book, but they are actively helping these countries with CBDC projects and launching them, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So they said they had over like 70 countries ask them.
But how else do they keep control? How else do these countries look like they're doing something for a PR?
So it might be part of the new loans or part of the structural adjustments. They might have to create CBDCs in the future. The IMF can kind of do what they want.
Countries and governments, it's proven over history, have never been good at controlling the money. Stop. Let's move on.
Okay.
That is literally it. Binance calls quits on Canada, blames new rules.
What were the new rules? Sorry, because I saw that they had announced. I know there's not many places that operate in Canada these days, is there?
Yeah, no idea. We're not
out of them a while ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we're not in there, so I'm not sure what they were. But yeah, it's just regulation clamping down.
Binance didn't give a shit.
I think they're
starting to now.
They don't, but yeah, I think now they're starting to in certain areas, depending on.
They probably looked at their numbers and not worth it for them.
Yeah. Money driven. Bank of England chief economist regrets urging people to accept they are poorer.
Do you know the average price of a sausage roll from Greggs has gone from £1 at the start of 2022 to £1.20 at the start of this year?
20% increase on food.
Outrageous. Mm-hmm. Everyone's feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Even the people at Greggs. We don't have a Greggs on the Alavan, so we can't be them people.
We should, by the way. Yeah, I would look at that franchise because that mop up.
That would.
Yeah, because there's little local bakeries, isn't there, and sort of things like that, but nothing. Yeah.
Greggs would absolutely wipe the floor with anything over it.
Yeah, it probably would.
If anyone's got a bit of free time and want to open a bakery with me, let me know.
I mean, solar panels on the roof.
We'll cook the sausage rolls with the excess heat from the lights.
So, could you ever sit down on an evening and realise once you've got the kids to bed and you've got about an hour of activity, and you look at all the things that you may have started.
So I've got 7 side brunches there. This week.
I don't do any of them and start.
What happened to me in that pleb life stuff. I still started doing it. I may as well start this course.
You need to focus is the hard part.
And
focus on thing is difficult.
It's impossible.
It's not possible.
I swear I've got like ADHD or something. Where you just like jump around.
It's just
I need to get me some Ritalin or something, whatever it is.
Entrepreneurs do that.
Is
it Ritalin?
We say CBD. What happened to that?
CBD? Yeah, how's it going?
How's your stopped?
That'd
help you out.
Does it? Concentration?
Yeah, I think it does, actually.
I think you can self-diagnose yourself as ADHD.
I don't think it is that anyway. I think entrepreneurial mentality,
a busy mind,
is a new idea pops up and you want to jump on it. And it's just the way that I think entrepreneurs are built and drive.
It's a compliment for you, Dave.
Full of them, isn't he?
Mm. It's a backhanded compliment, kind of.
That one frustrates me.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have said it to start with in some ways, but he is being honest.
I feel like he...
Which is the first honest thing they've said for a while.
No, I read this. He regrets his choice of words. He doesn't regret saying what he said. He regrets his choice of words.
Right.
Which I think is fair.
I think because it's been repeated a lot. Mm. When he said it... And it did get publicised because it's a nice soundbite. People need to start feeling poor.
Mm-hmm.
The sentiment's completely true.
Yeah.
And people are seeing it in their mortgage rates. And people are seeing it absolutely everywhere.
Seeing the sausage rolls, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had this conversation yesterday. It's frustrating. Like, I personally am frustrated by society and the fact that we are the... Well...
It's a huge thing.
You say why we're frustrated by the society.
Literally encompasses everything.
The entitlement of society. Like, everyone thinks that they should have cars on Binance or the latest iPhone or whatever.
No, you're just sweeping statement. No one,
I think you're right with the majority. There is a lot in the westernized world.
It's materialism.
And then stuff like this happens and everyone's like, oh no. I haven't planned. I haven't done. I haven't
but it's not even.
That.
It is people's fault. But it's going back to it's the way the world's gone in innovation and marketing. Yeah. They're telling you need this every year. You need a new phone every year. Innovation's happening so quickly. You always want the latest thing.
Look at Apple. They actually forced people to get the new phones by slowing down the old ones, and they got caught out doing that. It's they are literally forcing that onto people. But they've got enough cash to not care. The individuals out there. Public don't. They will.
But you've got economy driven by unchecked consumerism. You need people to keep buying stuff, or else people start losing jobs, and then you got real problems.
So whose problem does it come back to?
Well, it's the individual, isn't it? It's, if you had a political party that gave you an alternative to vote for,
you said we need Bukele in power, and you
know that's exactly what I'm not saying. If you had an alternative party to vote for, then that would advocate.
I think.
But you're talking about socialism a little bit. I don't know what the solution is, but it's. I don't think to be angry at this whole of society will do you any favors.
I'm not doing show externally, but I'm angry at society.
I've never seen you angry, Molly. That'd be so funny. An angry Molly.
Just more pissed off. Like, people just don't think long term, do they? I don't know if it's just a Bitcoiner mindset. And when you see normies or whatever who are driving around in the latest car, or
what do you mean normies? What's a normie?
Like, people who are not clued up about the state of the world. Like, why is nobody, like, for, well, you know, I've got friends who in the last couple of years have gone out and bought the biggest house they can afford because, like, mortgage interest rates are whatever they want.
Yeah, but money's cheap, that's good advice.
Yeah, but, like, common sense tells you they're not going to stay at, like, whatever they were, 1%. So now, when people are coming around and they're having to renew those mortgages, like, shit, I've got $500,000 house and I can't afford to...
Yeah, but I mean, like,
can't afford
we had so we had, like 20 years where loans are extremely cheap. You can't... And then people got in the mindset that that wouldn't change. I think people have been rug pulled by...
That's a stupid mindset to have. Like,
if money's that cheap for that long... You can kind of get people
if you're not in like an industry like ours,
it's forgivable that then you're not thinking COVID and the COVID responses and the amount of the money printing went on. And obviously
the reaction now should be like what the Bank of England guy is saying is people are gonna have to accept that they are poor and you have to cut back on things and do things, not turn around and say I've been rug pulled, somebody else needs to solve my problem, like give me more money or something. That's not you know, that's kind of in some ways, and I don't say an easy way out or whatever people are trying to do, and they'll try and push the problem on somebody else. But actually, the reality is, yeah, most of the world right now is going to end up being poorer in some capacity.
Like, the amount of people that go and buy lunch every day, like, have some common sense, meal prep, you'll save money there. But they're just like, oh no, I can't. Like, they're just lazy.
It's hard to get in the mind, I think, because like that.
Sorry, it's just my mindset.
Molly's angry.
I'm angry because I hate victim mentality, and it's like, okay, you're whinging about it, but you're not doing anything about its change. Like, the circumstances have changed, so be proactive. Like, don't go and buy lunch every day because you're spending a fiver a day. Like, shit happens.
There is that,
like,
tipping point, though, where you can cut back as much as you want, but 16% grocery inflation is 16% grocery inflation. You can't afford food. There's that tipping point in people's income.
Yeah.
I'm trying to cut back, but I need to survive.
That's the ones I feel really bad for. And that's the ones that, you know, how I'm not going to say how do you help that, because there's nothing I can do to help them, unfortunately. But, you know, they're the ones that,
I imagine there's a massive increase of people to, like, turn into food banks and stuff because they just can't afford food.
Yeah. But this is going to sound very harsh, but people still have Netflix? Do they still have...
Well, that, like, the ones that can cut back is, should be cutting back.
I think there's a variety. Some can cut back, but just don't want to. Some of them, but I think Zach is right. Like, there's a lot of people out there that just physically cannot afford these things, and the 20% increase in food is not helping them at all. There's a variety of them, I think.
I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at the people that won't cut back but can.
You were ahead of the game in your lunches, weren't you?
Yeah.
Well, always am. And my mortgage.
What, the 16p
a week? I want to keep showing off about that. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, cup of soup, 16p a day.
I think it is. You're right as well, Zach, with it. In this industry, you end up, you kind of start to understand the economy and finance a bit better, and you start to then... actually, like, spending on things that are not necessary.
Yeah.
I don't buy anything these days, to be quite honest.
But if I wasn't in this industry, I wouldn't even be aware of as aware as I am now of, like, say, you can almost be forgiven for not seeing it coming if you're not in the industry and keeping up with it.
I think so. Anyway,
it's just sad time.
That's a very depressing subject.
Sorry for being really mad there, guys.
I'm feeling mad. Apologize. Get yourself a stress ball.
That'll
be my solution.
This is why I've taken up boxing again recently.
Have you?
Nice.
I box a few times a week now.
On the old punch bag.
Yeah. Do a pro fight or amateur fight?
Thrill in the Village.
Oh my, would you? No. What have we sponsored you to do?
People.
That'd be. You'd probably kick ass.
Keep my teeth.
You would. No, you would come shield.
Shield.
Okay.
How much sponsorship for some charity organization would it take for you to do Thrill in the Villa boxing?
I'm not doing Thrill in the Villa.
I think you'd be brilliant.
No.
I've seen you play football. You were actually extremely competitive.
Oh, I'm small, but I'm feisty. And I'm feisty.
Vicious.
But I've seen the women.
You'd be punching someone. No, Molly. She's not. Oh, no, ref said it's John's on the best. Stop crying. I know you're angry at society, but.
No, I saw one of the women that fought last year and she was terrifying.
Yeah, but no, they put you in a weight class. So it'd be a similar size person to you.
It wouldn't
put
you. A small child.
I don't know. They'd find someone.
Like a taken.
I accidentally watched
Rough and Rowdy. Accidentally watched.
Yeah, you know when you're scrolling, like Rough and Rowdy fights. Barstool do. Yeah. It's just like brutal.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny.
It's not for us. Sometimes I just. What? They they do, I suppose. They seem to be having a good time.
Yeah, it seems like a great time.
Yeah. They're happy enough. Right, agenda. Come on.
Danny switched off. Right.
Oh, yeah, I was bored. I started reading things. Yeah.
Consumer cryptocurrency trading should be regulated as gambling, the Treasury Committee says in a new report.
Mm-hmm.
How long have we been going for here, Mikey?
41 minutes.
Oh, that's right. We've got a bit of time.
Got loads of time.
I read the Treasury Committee report.
Go on then.
So the committee is kind of to keep the government in check, say. It's like an external party. So Sunak said he wants to create a hub for this sort of industry, cryptocurrencies, and the Treasury Committee have to...
How do you get appointed to the Treasury Committee?
Well,
you have to.
I don't know how you get appointed to the Treasury Committee. Yeah. But if you looked at the MPs that are involved, a lot of them had banking or economic history, so they know a bit about.
They clearly don't know.
They're running
about
the Treasury. No, a lot of them are high level bankers. So
high level. Seen this report.
Yeah, but they also take a lot of the people that wrote the report. Obviously, aren't the MPs? They take a lot of researchers on secondment from the Bank of England.
Do you know who they reached out to in the research they did on this?
There's the Ripple. Some guys from
Ripple. They reached out to Ripple to ask them.
They probably reached out to a lot of people, but they got...
And Ripple.
Binance and Ripple were part of it.
That I'm aware of.
You can see at the end of the report...
Ripple.
You can see... Yeah.
Come off it.
But you can see some of the contributors at the end of the report. They're all quite transparent.
Binance, which is... The biggest exchange in the world that is just saying F you to all the regulatory landscape everywhere, and Ripple, who has literally paid $5 million to attack Bitcoin being introduced. Come off it.
I did see Bitcoin Policy UK submitted something to them.
Yeah.
Looks like it got completely ignored.
Freddie's
It
just got ignored.
We're probably
mentioned in that.
Yeah, sort of.
That submission he did.
So they do talk about the payments piece in the report and how it could... You know, there's use cases for it, but it's the whole premises of, you know, Bitcoin getting tarred with the same cryptocurrency stuff. Like Binance to me is gambling. That we call them casinos. Mm-hmm. The same with Coinbase. All of that is gambling. So if you've not separated Bitcoin from the rest of what we already view as gambling, then you are going to say, all right, it needs to be regulated the same as gambling.
Yeah. But
the problem is that it's not separated Bitcoin, and the people I speak to aren't particularly advocates of doing that. Because
they don't understand it.
No, because they're Ripple and Binance. Of course, they're not going to do it. And they do, again, they do the energy usage bit. And I had a little look at some of the MPs involved. And one of the MPs who put his name to this is in the Treasury Committee, had the highest energy bill claim from a Westminster MP in the year 2021 to 2021. And it's like 500 MPs, so it must be a big old chunky bill. And no one's whiter than white, but I just thought it was quite funny to be moaning about Bitcoin, like crypto energy usage, and then being the guy with the biggest energy. Let me just put that big claim shit to my heart.
So that's quite entertaining.
Yeah, so I can see what the role was. They also criticised the government for the Royal Mint NFT, which was a government institution. And so this committee is saying, like, you shouldn't be doing projects like that.
Yeah. No.
We can understand why you want to be a hub. Most of this looks like gambling. We, as a Bitcoin advocate, need to... Our endeavours should be in separating Bitcoin out from crypto.
I think the big part of it is they don't listen to us. They just will not listen. We've spoken to them, like the Royal Mint. I mean, we spoke to them. I've mentioned before about this. We literally did a
conference thing for them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And helped educate people on Bitcoin. So they just
but maybe
care.
That's why
they
we have to get slightly more behind the Bitcoin policy UK people.
Yeah, yeah.
And do
but they've clearly not listened to them. That's the it's really frustrating. But, you get to a point where after I've been doing this for 10 years, I've got to a point of the last few years, I'm just focused on us and focused on the private
side. But you can't give up until
you can't
knock on the door.
You can't. And there is everybody out there in the industry is doing that as a combination. And we still have to deal and talk to regulators and we still try and push things through. But I try and move first and then let the regulator catch up and we can educate them as they catch up. Things like Malkon and stuff like that, where if we went to them and said, we want to do this, blah, 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 before we did the product and released it and things, that would be a bad way to do it. So you kind of, regulation always catches up because otherwise then it's not really...
We're lucky to have quite open channels with regulators in terms of discussions, aren't we? So
in the Isle of Man.
You have to work with them.
In the Isle of Man, yes. I think always have done over here, but they're happy to sit back and kind of be a fast follower now, I think, in some ways. But I think a lot of it, if these people are not going to listen, your time and energy to do that, as I say, for me, for 10 years of doing it, it's just tiring and frustrating.
For me, on this, back to this committee thing, there was too much Bank of England involvement and saying cryptocurrencies aren't backed by anything. It's a constant message throughout
pound.
It all.
And it's just... I'd love to sit in a room with some of these people and just literally talk to them. Actually, get them on the podcast and talk to them about this sort of stuff and get it out there to the public because it's ridiculous. We know this. We had this conversation. I don't know if you want to come on to that or not.
Yeah, save it for Coin Corner News.
Okay, but that ties into
Coin Corner News. Yeah, is my favorite.
Ties into
your agenda
so
piece,
and it's because of the ignorance of these people. Yeah, they just do not. The ignorant, arrogant.
Well, you know, half of the MPs are from traditional banking side, so you can. From what the conversations we've been having, you can see where the ignorance is born from. Yeah. This is outside their realm.
They're there to make money for themselves, and that's all they care about.
But it's like, should you? Yeah. I mean, but you're not going to find any MPs.
Well, as an MP, you shouldn't. As an MP, you should care about the country.
No, as an MP, they're acting to make sure the government is acting appropriately when it comes to
for the country.
For the country. And this is what this is about.
For the people.
Yeah.
That's not what this is.
Well,
what these people are doing.
It's putting it in check a bit. If Sunak's, he has to have some culpability, someone has to question. You can't just let Sunak go, right? We're going to be the global hub.
But the people that are questioning that, for me, in my head, are not doing necessarily... I'm not saying the MPs, and I'm picking on any particular MP here. I'm talking about, in general, people in power, not MPs. Like, the conversations we've had with people, they just care about making money next week and having the job next week. They don't care about what's good for the world, I guess. And it's the mercenaries and missionaries thing. You know, we are missionaries in some respects, and these other people are mercenaries, and unfortunately a lot of the people in power are mercenaries.
Okay.
In that respect.
Yeah, anyway, so it was a good Treasury report. I like the process, and maybe not the message, but the process was there.
But the process wasn't. It was shit.
No, the process of keeping the government in check, the actual having these committees,
the
discussing. The idea of the process was there.
The idea, but the process, they didn't listen to the industry. They didn't listen
to the
feedback.
That's why I said the message, not the process, not the message.
Yeah, but they didn't listen to the feedback.
Yeah, so the message.
So the process is broken.
The outcome. The
process is broken.
In fact, the process
is
in there.
It's only the idea.
The idea of the process is great, but the process is broken because they didn't listen to the feedback they got, that they asked for. They never have. They never do.
No, they just didn't get it, you know, I suppose. Selective. There's a bias in everything, and maybe there's biases
in
there. But
is what I'm saying there.
People that are involved with it.
And the people involved in it are then the mercenaries that are doing what they think is best for themselves and the company they work for, which, whether that be a bank or whatever, they are in control and in power now. They don't want to lose that, so they push on their agenda. So they have an agenda. It needs to be more neutral.
Maybe we should get more light-hearted news stories for this pod, so it's not
no such thing as
light.
It's
a bit neggy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're angry at society. Daddy's angry at everyone. I'm respecting democratic processes.
Normally, it's Dave.
Always angry.
No.
You're right.
Coin Corner News.
Right. Do you want to? How about we save this? That finish on a light-hearted note. You guys just get out your system. What you need to talk about.
What's the light-heart though? I mean, we should have had a lot more light-hearted notes in this.
Well, I feel like.
All right.
Talk about what you want to talk about yesterday. That's the conversation fueled by anger, and then we'll go on to
it's not fueled by anger.
Frustration.
Maybe. So me and Danny are continuing our roadshow with IFAs, which is leading to lots of different meetings with other people where the IFAs think we should be speaking to these people X, Y, Z. So we had an extremely interesting meeting. We go into a lot of these trying to educate people on Bitcoin and not really knowing where our leaders are, the interests of the people that we're meeting. We just vaguely know who they work for. But we want to show them what Send Globally could do, what Bitcoin, what people are building on Bitcoin, applications of the Lightning Network, etc. You know, strong base layer, interoperability, all that bits and pieces. So we got into a meeting with someone, I won't name the company, and we showed them Send Globally.
Just be careful what you say in the detail of that, because they'll give the company away if you say too much detail.
So okay, we'll have to be
blank it out.
Judge if I get this, get it, right? Go on. No, I don't think we could. We didn't sign anything, but I don't know.
We didn't sign anything. So,
so basically, the part of their workflow would be a traditional exchange. So basically helping people exchange currencies from one country to another. And they have a huge American client that, can we name them?
No, because that'll give it away.
A huge American client, the biggest that they could ever be. Okay.
Just trying to get that. We need to be vague.
Okay, so they have a huge...
They have one big client.
One big client, and they are so sensitive about losing that client that they would restrict markets, close to countries. And we showed them Bitcoin Lightning, and they said, not in a billion years, and he did say billion, could they touch that because it would jeopardize what they're doing.
And one of the best comments was when I said, we're going to make Swift redundant. Yeah. He was like, well, let's just forget it now then, because I don't want to, we want Swift. We don't want to make it redundant.
They're like, so on board with Swift and their big American client that they can't touch any alternatives. So we were like, well, that's quite short. Like, this is quicker, better, cheaper, Swift. This is interoperable. This is where it's going.
But they didn't like that because they make too much money.
So he was like, no, it's not in our wheelhouse. It's not. We can only do everything to keep this current deal going.
Everything in their power to keep that particular client and deal running.
So we were like, that's quite short-term thinking.
Because they make too much money on it.
They do make a lot.
And the worst bit for me, We were very open and honest, and as were they. And you did at one point say, we are literally sat across the table from the enemy. And the guy was laughed at, like,
we're the enemy.
And he was literally the enemy.
We are trying to bring them down.
Yeah. And we were disrupting their business model.
It was quite civil to say how frosty that could have been.
Yeah.
Because it's not often you go to a business meeting and call someone the enemy.
And the best in charge is
well for you. I wouldn't be surprised if you mention every meeting.
But the best bit, we didn't know who we were going into meeting with. They didn't know who they were coming to the meeting with. And they actually thought we needed them. And then straight away I flipped it around and was like, no, we don't need you. You need us. And it was then an interesting conversation, shall we say. But when we asked, so what's your 5-year, 10-year plan? You know, what happens? There's a couple of points of this that we touched on. And they're like, we don't have one. We make enough money now to not care. It's the short answer. They were just making the money now, making enough and more than enough to keep things ticking over. And they just wanted to, did he say at one point that he just wanted to make sure he had a job tomorrow and keep the money flowing in? And he didn't care about having this 5-year plan or anything within this company.
So we thought it was quite short-sighted in terms of...
Incredibly short-sighted. But he didn't care because when the company sells, he will probably retire and go and sit and do whatever. And
I understand. He was sticking to a core of something that he knows is making a lot of money and didn't want to rock that boat whatsoever. I understood that straight away. You can't touch Bitcoin.
You're right. That's a lot of businesses. That is businesses. That's not in the business of what we're in.
No, that's what we're up against. So we're not up against someone open-minded thinking actually the future of the exchange.
In 20 years' time, we need to be using this. Because he's thinking, I'm not going to be here in 20 years' time. Yeah. I don't care. That's literally what he was saying.
We just smashed it. And just like Danny actually sent a payment from his phone to someone in Kenya instantly for pennies. And he said, how are you going to... Because it only cost a penny.
A snide comment from him.
He was like, What did he say? What are you going to do? Your penny? Something like that.
Yeah, it's how much something to make any money with that? Just that penny, basically.
It's like, oh,
I was just like, I didn't buy it, and I was just like,
it's just not big enough margin in some of these guys to warrant their attention.
No,
it's like, okay, it's such a mercenary mentality, but it was quite nice to see, because if you're an investor in that company, I'd be quite happy him running it, because you know.
It's all about the bottom line,
and that's all he cared about. It's like, protect his margins, protect what he's got, make sure that keeps running and keeps growing. And because of who his client is, I know that will keep growing, and to who those end clients are.
But that is causing that so many, that what who that client is and what's happening there is causing so many problems in the world that obviously relate heavily to the book you've just been rambling on about at the beginning.
I don't think that was a ramble.
That is the worry. That's the thing.
And that's why he was the enemy.
That's mercenary, that ultimate mercenary.
Part of me admired him. I was like, oh, fair enough. Yeah. You
admired him.
Gamers tag game.
Stick to your wheelhouse. Yeah.
But that was because all he knew was that, and that's what he knew, and that's what he just wanted to make sure he had the job tomorrow, and that was what he was doing. The company was making money. He didn't care about the world, he didn't care about people, he didn't care about anything like that.
Yeah, he's just literally, if you read the book Good to Great, he's following those principles.
No, 100% he's not.
Definitely.
Like, it's a great, you're talking decades ahead of a company being here in decades' time. He's not thinking about that. He was talking about selling next year.
That is a good point. He isn't thinking long term, but he knows what his driver is. They've got their economic driver. Mm-hmm. They know what they can be the best of the world at, because they currently are trying to.
Yeah,
they are doing that.
Yeah,
the passion and the why is probably lacking.
There's zero passion and zero why.
But
the why is I make money.
I suppose it is. Actually, Good to Great does look at like 30-year track records, and he's already saying that they're not going to be around.
He's not going to be here in 30 years.
Good point. So the
company's not going to.
It misses on that point. But
that's what we're up against. I think it was an interesting conversation, because that's this kind of people. Ignorance was the big thing. I said when we were showing the example and showing on my app how to do it and had it on the table, showing them. There was a couple of other guys in the room. They were like leant over looking at it. He was sat back, leaning back on his chair, clearly couldn't see the app. So I said to him, you know, are you sure you can see from there? Just trying to kick him a little bit and wind him up, but he was just, he wasn't interested, he didn't move forward, he didn't care, he was just like, oh yeah, that's good.
Didn't know anything about Bitcoin, didn't know anything about Lightning Network, Strike or how they can disrupt his current business.
He wasn't interested in learning about
Do you think he came away slightly concerned after it?
Just didn't care. He'll retire soon and disappear with lots of money, and that's his life, which is fine. If people want to do that, that's not a problem. I think what it highlights to us is we're up against that kind of person in them kind of companies. Mm-hmm. That we're trying to, I'm not trying to say we're trying to take them down, but we're trying to work with them and educate them and move people onto using Bitcoin for payment rails around the world and cross-border payments. They're the kind of companies and the people that you will have to go up against at some point, or you have to integrate with at some point. But these guys, there was no point in trying to educate him and convince him. He was already no from the get-go. Mm. And even if you started talking about it, he switched off. He didn't want to know. He didn't want to listen.
He was like, what do you want from us? We're like, nothing. Yeah. You need us.
He was like, well, why am I here then? He was like, I'm not.
Say he wasn't as blunt as that.
He didn't.
He was civil enough to say we called him the enemy. He was civil enough.
He was, in that respect. He was
thingy. Thoroughly enjoyable. I want more of them.
It was enjoyable because of the conversation ended up being and who that person and company was. It was interesting.
So we continue our quest, don't we? We're lining up more. Keep knocking on these doors.
Meeting with the enemy.
The roadshow continues.
We have to learn. And it was incredible ignorance.
People talk about like building on Bitcoin, building on Lightning. This is fundamentally important as well. It's like spreading that message. But people do lots of books, education, content on Twitter.
Yeah.
But one of the better ways or a good way we're finding is get in front of these people and just have that chat, and we can use Coin Corner as a platform and the products we have, knowing that they do help a lot of industries that they just don't know about them, to as well show that and highlight those products, just to educate people as well. So you are, you know, adding value there to the whole Bitcoin ethos system by having the conversations.
We're just not doing it publicly, we're doing it
I said about replacing Swift, his reaction.
Not in a billion years.
He just jumped all over it. No, we're not getting rid of Swift. We love Swift. It's like, what?
Yeah. They were here. We're at the other end of the pole.
Absolutely.
Did you sign off with, like, see you on the battlefield?
Right.
What? Or like,
we cut the meeting short.
You know, a cool little line.
I mean, it wasn't even that short, you know.
20 minutes short, I'd say, from what we'd accounted for, I think. So,
we didn't say see you on the battle.
No, cool. The sign off line.
No, just a cheerio.
Yeah. Cheerio.
Yeah.
It's friendly.
A stern handshake.
Yeah, look, yeah. Very enjoyable.
But shaking hands, it's like you can shake the hardest.
Yeah. Mm. The other guy was nice. I think he was interested.
You know why? Because he was commercial.
He was younger, interested. He's going to be here in 20 years' time, still working away doing this stuff.
Well, every IFA that we've had worked, that we've had a conversation with, has said, are there any jobs going?
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite telling.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Anyway.
Cool.
Coin corner news?
I mean, that was...
We're not in Miami. Why are we not in Miami, Molly?
We've got Miami today, by the way. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Oh, you're saying just shut up, Dave?
Yeah, shut up, Dave.
Why are we not in Miami?
Because...
Why are we releasing anything for Miami?
Like, you would sign us off to go to Miami.
That's the whole point.
Busy. I think we're just busy.
Busy,
we've got a lot.
Expensive.
We've got a lot of stuff going on. I think...
I would rather spend the thousands of pounds it takes to get Miami on something else.
Last year was good to go meet everybody and do all that sort of side of things. But I think
save that for Dubai.
We're juggling too many things at the minute to go out there and spend any time and resource on that at the minute. I think what we've got going on at the minute in the background is just enough.
I was hoping this could be the year I finally get Mandrix Baklava, but...
I think he's going to get some for us, is he? Who said they were going to get some? Was it Joe?
Oh. One year, so we have said
he was going to... Well, it was Coach Carbon.
Oh, is he
good? Yeah. One year we'll have to commit. One year Molly's got to get to Miami, right? One year we've got to send Molly.
For those who don't know, Danny and Zach left the baklava in Miami. Got me some. Got a photo.
It's in the hotel.
Oh, no.
She left it in the hotel fridge.
She's got it, yeah.
And it is literally in the hotel fridge.
Bought me some shop-bought stuff on the way back.
Maybe next year. I'll be interested to see how popular it is this year in them.
I haven't seen that many people talking about it, you know.
It's
not started yet, is it? It's going to kick off.
I think it'll be well attended still.
Mm.
But...
I don't know.
No?
I'm not getting those vibes. Maybe because I'm not there.
Oxford?
Oxford City. They got promoted to the National League for the first time in their history.
Is it National League? What, League 2?
The would be conference one.
Oh,
okay, so that'll be the first one. So yeah,
they're in National League South. Now they've gone up to the proper National League.
Is that the one Wrexham have just come out of?
Yeah.
Oh, that's annoying, isn't it? Only been nice to play them.
But it was good. The BT Sport.
Yeah.
We're tweeting videos about it because it was filmed.
Didn't we have tickets to the game? Why didn't we? Didn't
we do? Because we have season passes, don't we, and tickets.
Well, what did we do with them?
Well, no, we have them. It's not that easy to get over, is it?
We just could not do a giveaway.
We've done giveaways for tickets, haven't we? I don't know what's happened. So
we've given the season tickets away.
Right.
Oh, to get to this one would just be corporate stuff. Right. But yeah, we didn't get...
Unfortunately, get too busy with other
things. But it was busy. There was like 3,500 people there.
Mm. Problem
which is the highest turnout ever.
Being in the Isle of Man, isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, can't get...
Yeah, so yeah, but you can't even reliably get off the island. Bit of fog and they go, plane's not going.
It's part of the charm.
Mango missed 4 flights to get...
I don't know if that's a mango's fault.
That's a bad example.
He was in Amsterdam. congrats to Oxford. Well done, guys.
That's awesome. The coverage as well was great because it showed the Bitcoin logo on the back of their shirts the BT Sport.
And if you've got your micro, your magnifying glass out, you might be able to see Coin Corner on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Only we've got your magnifying glass.
Dave, come on, you know the whole agenda for making the Bitcoin logo pick. So yeah, congrats then. That's awesome.
Mm. Questions?
Up the hoops.
Hoops.
Are we going to go through all these 3 questions? Because I've then got a lightning one as well. I've not read these.
Just one.
It's a long question. Okay, question time. So this was last week. After listening to today's Bitcoiners pod, do you have any advice or suggestions on how the general British Bitcoin bros could help get the conversation started in terms of new orange pilled businesses, etc., given that most of us aren't sales or marketers? I know that when I've mentioned it previously, I mostly get an eye roll and an instant disregard, so I generally leave it at that. Or how about a load of us from the Bitcoin meetup groups come to Bitcoin Island and you could give us a day of training on how to sell the good word to the good peoples? If it helps any of us, it'll help all of us.
I think there's one simple way in my head is don't go and say, do you want to accept Bitcoin?
Oh, okay. I thought we could all say what I think. I've got one as well. We could say it at the same time.
We can't say it at the same time because nobody's going to tell us.
Three, two, one.
You're interrupting enough as it is.
Three, two, one. Solve a problem.
So yeah, that would be my way. So don't go in and just say, do you want to accept Bitcoin? Because half the time they don't know what it is and there's loads of issues with it. The simplest way is to know the business and go in saying we can solve one of your problems. That is probably our most successful route.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't go with a hard sell is going in saying, do you want to accept Bitcoin? Because the reality is you're going to get knocked back 99.9% of the time probably. Whereas if you know the business, understand how it works, understand where they source things from, do they source it from foreign countries? Can they make Bitcoin usage there for cross-border payments? Do they have spare cash sat in their accounts that, you know, they don't know what to do with? Could they put Bitcoin on the balance sheet? It's understanding, knowing who that company is and what they do. That is probably the best way in my head. And at the minute, I think this is one of the things as well, patience is kind of key. Like, you can't expect to just go around and orange pill all these cafes, coffee shops.
That's important because you don't understand the business just by walking into them.
No,
like you say, you've got to build a relationship. But it takes patience.
And it's a chicken and an egg scenario. Is the patience bit where you can onboard a cafe and a coffee shop, and we know that we've got loads of them on board, but they're not going to get regular orders because there's not enough people using Bitcoin for the payment side of it. So it's a chicken and egg scenario where you then lose people. You might onboard 100 and by, you know, 3 years' time, there's only 10 of them still running and taking Bitcoin orders. And we've seen that happen over and over again every cycle with the bull and bear markets. So if you solve a problem for them, they will continue to use Bitcoin because it solves the problem. If you go and just say, app this as an additional payment method, that will potentially slowly die out over time. But as time goes by, them 10 keep growing, and them 10 become 20, and them 20 become 30, and so on. So then there will be more places to pay with Bitcoin, and then there will be more people paying with Bitcoin at these points once more bulk card style things crop up and more usage is there and more challenger banks integrate Bitcoin into it as a payment option. That's when I'm saying patience, that's going to take time to get there, and I'm talking years, not and even decades, not like months. So yes, go an orange pill where you can, but it's so much more powerful in my head to orange pill where there's a problem, not just trying to force something on someone.
Depends on the type of business as well, doesn't it? Because I think a lot of Bitcoiners try an orange pill cafes and restaurants and those places, especially in the UK. And from my understanding is that UK businesses Bitcoin doesn't solve many issues for UK businesses, not like businesses elsewhere in the world that, like in El Salvador, where they've got issues with their...
I think the big selling point for like the Bridge to Bitcoin guys and stuff that are doing it, they say like, you know, they'll get more customers because you'll get a bit of market. You'll get a bit of market.
Yeah,
you will get some customers coming and using it for Bitcoin, but it won't be masses, unfortunately. So the time and effort to orange pill these guys and potentially give them a bad experience, you may be better turning the focus to, can you find ones where, here's a really random one that has cropped up recently on our radar. A client in the UK that is a fish shop that buys fish from all around
you
the world.
You are obsessed with
tropical fish. Well, they buy tropical fish from all around the world. So Philippines
I
and
cost
and so,
tropical fish.
I know. But people are paying that and they struggle to make international transfers to these countries where they're buying tropical fish from.
Don't
so they
tell Molly how much people are buying tropical fish for. Oh, yeah. That'll send her over the top.
If those same people are complaining about the cost of living, then they need to cut back on their tropical fish. But get a goldfish, you know.
Here's an example. That's an example of a business that would find you would solve a problem with because they struggle making international payments to the Philippines, Vietnam, and so on. India and I think I'm in other places, some South American ones. Whereas now they can then use Bitcoin to make that payment to these people in these countries, which means you've solved the problem for them that they're going to use on a regular basis, and they're going to continue to do that. It may not be. This is what I was trying to say to people as well. It's not just because Bitcoin isn't being used at your coffee shop down the road doesn't mean in the background it's not being used for like supply chain and stuff, which is where we're seeing most usage now is behind the scenes supply chain cross border. So that's a tropical fish seller is a perfect example of how you can go and solve someone's a small business's problem and making international payments.
I guess another one popular on that sort of thing though is just general online e-commerce stores that ship worldwide. People paying from different countries around the world, like if you can get them online accepting Bitcoin, then they're usually a bit more receptive to it than coffee shops.
Yeah, I think the problem you've still got with that though is at the minute, there's not enough people willing to pay with Bitcoin. Mm. So one thing it does open up, so El Salvador, where we know are unbanked, you might open a new market up there to El Salvadorans that want to buy your product and now they can use Bitcoin to pay. So it does open up
potential buy some markets. Tropical fish.
Yeah, from the UK. But it's still... you've lost my train of thought now.
Yes.
Oh, that's completely gone.
Silenced him, guys.
I know.
Oh.
Find a problem. Solve it.
Good question, though.
Very good question. Right. How Lightning scales. Do you want me to pull that question up? It's from Joe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
You went on Twitter today.
Well, no, I posted that. It's from a year ago, that tweet.
Oh, was it?
But,
oh.
Yeah, the tweet's from a year ago, but I just wanted to pull it up again because it had the numbers in, which was useful for this conversation.
Okay.
So we had a question from... Somebody questioned it with Joe Nakamoto, and he passed it on, asked if we could help answer this.
You want me to read it out?
Just rough. Don't have to read the whole thing. Just okay. A rough.
I'm trying to see where this starts. Okay, scenario. So, right, the scenario is 12.5% adoption, or say 1 billion people. Clearly, layer two solutions like Lightning will be required in order for daily transactions and day-to-day living. However, what I don't understand is how there will be enough capacity on the main chain for widespread adoption, even with everyone using Lightning for 99.9% of transactions. Do you want me to read the next bit as well? If Bitcoin can only make around 4,000 transactions per block or 2 million transactions per year, then that means with 1 billion people using Bitcoin, they will, on average, only be able to make one transfer between their cold storage Bitcoin savings account and their Lightning spend account once every 5 years, and that's only at 12.5% adoption. What am I missing here?
Lots of things. I think here, it's hard to answer this question because there's a lot of... It's not hard, it's very easy, but there's a lot to take into consideration, I guess, is more what we're saying. So... one very big obvious thing is custodial and non-custodial. I know Wiz Bitcoiners want everyone to be non-custodial, look after it for yourself, and that's, I guess, a big point of Bitcoin. Realistically, we know ourselves from our numbers, we know all the other companies out there and their numbers. 95% of our customers, 90 to 95% generally, will custody with us rather than withdraw. So you only ended up with 5 to 10% of people in a non-custodial manner. And even in that non-custodial manner, I don't know how many of them actually would use Lightning then, for example, for payments in a non-custodial manner. Most of them could still use us for them payments, for example. So a massive part of that is 90% of people going forwards could still operate on a custodial service like ourselves to make the Lightning payments. I know people will argue that's, you know, not what Bitcoin's for and you want to make it non-custodial and so on, which then comes on to the more technical scalability pieces, which I think Zach has kindly prepared a couple
of
tech innovations.
We're on a pedestal here.
Danny chucked this on me minutes before the pod. Well, it's worth noting, obviously, Bitcoin is the base layer and then Lightning is built as a way to scale Bitcoin. And then there's several stuff, basically not on top of Lightning, but like several improvements that can be made for Lightning to scale as well, because... it is, at its current state, it's all theoretical how much it can scale, isn't it, really?
It's infinitely scalable, but I think because of what he's questioning is because of the block size capacity on Bitcoin's base layer, you can only open so many channels for Lightning to be able to... So it's the channel opens, which is how do you scale the channel opens. So
a few initial stuff that's already there and working, maybe just not adopted as much yet. Due to it only being available in a few Lightning implementations, batch opening channels is the batch opening your own channels. Mm-hmm. So if I have a Lightning node and I want to open a channel, I want to open 10 channels. Most people do that as one on-chain transaction for each.
with 10 on-chain
transactions. 10 on-chain transactions, but you can actually just batch them all into one, meaning the on-chain footprint of that whole 10 channel opening is a lot smaller.
Might end up at like the equivalent of 2, for example. Yeah. I can't remember the number exactly.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers, but so that is a very simple thing that you could do as an individual running a Lightning node. Right now, you can do that.
And there can also be services eventually, because that's something we've spoken about as well, operating a service that if you want a Lightning channel and some liquidity opening, you come to us, say, right, I want some liquidity in a channel to you guys. We batch that in with, you know, 20 of our customers into one transaction. So you end up with 20 channel opens within one transaction, effectively, which would then help scale and open up channels to people that they don't even have to do a Bitcoin transaction themselves. They just get Lightning liquidity to their node and they can crack on.
So that's one way of scaling Lightning, already available. Another one already available is dual-funded channels. So that is currently available in Core Lightning, Eclair, and LDK are adding it. And that is essentially when I'm opening a channel, say I'm opening a channel with you, Dave, traditionally I would put the funds up because I'm opening the channel, so there'd be one Bitcoin on my side. Mm-hmm. But actually, and then if you wanted a channel on your side, to put funds up, you'd have to open another channel.
I'm not opening a channel that big with you.
Okay. So that'd be two on-chain transactions.
Mm.
But you can now do what's called dual funding. So we can both put up each side of our liquidity into one on-chain transaction.
So it halves the transaction. Yeah. So you need to create your channels, basically. So you're creating one channel, but putting liquidity on both sides.
Yeah.
Rather than creating two transactions. So straight away, that's a halving. So you can already see even the bits we've mentioned here, which are all the basic kind of innovations that are kind of there available in some ways. You're already starting to see that you've gone from talking about trying to do 7 billion channel opens to already you're at maybe 200 million channel opens because you've already dwindled it down to that amount. That's not even taking into account the non-custodial and custodial options.
Yeah. And stuff like dual funded channels, it helps with the liquidity issues people had early on and how to get inbound straight away. You have to open a channel and send all your Bitcoin to the other side, whereas this, you just have it straight away if the other party is willing to put up some funds. So they're two scaling methods that are available right now. They're just probably not that adopted very well.
UX is improvements.
It's very complicated to manually be doing this.
But as technology improves, as we improve and innovate, this is what I'm saying about the service. We actually spoke about that service for the batch channel side of things, like, a year, 2 years ago, was it, or something? And was looking to potentially offer that, but you realise the market is not quite there ready for it yet. But as the market comes, then we'll introduce these things.
Has it got a mirror of the scalability of the internet again? Like the old adage of how similar it is to the internet in terms of how the internet was first created, and like those college just connecting those computers and someone was just keeping a list.
Yeah.
And then eventually they built on that and made efficiencies and how...
create DNS.
All the came in to make that an unmanageable network.
Yeah. It's improvements along the way.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Massively part of that.
It's still very, 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 very early online.
Another good question. It's just, I can understand why people go at a high level. Just, it does look like you're right.
Yeah.
That you need billions of these channels and you haven't got enough in the blocks to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Any sort of good look at it, you just say, all right, okay, scales.
Yeah,
there is other ones. There's some other.
Yeah, I was going to go with channel some more factories. Stuff that's in development, so not available yet. The likes of channel factories, which is probably the biggest one. So that's essentially. I wrote down a good way of explaining it. Essentially, a group of users pulling all your funds together in like a big multi sig. And then you can open channels, but those channels don't have to go on chain.
Okay.
So therefore, that reduces the on-chain that can reduce the on-chain size and fee by 90% if channel factories were used.
So like 100 people could theoretically open one big
pull multi-sig. All your funds into one big multi-sig, open channels between each other off-chain, but using Bitcoin on confirmed transactions, and then you can always go on-chain if there's any kind of issue or
settlement.
Oh, I couldn't help it. So I was just smiling at you then because you're. Airport analogy.
Yeah.
I was just like, all right, I was just kept thinking about, all right, does that mean loads of people own the airport? Like, you know, like how does that fit into scalability of the airport? Because it's maybe a question we have had before.
Maybe like,
it's just like, okay, how's Danny going to put this into that? Because it is it's a well-rounded analogy, but if you got scalability in there, I was just thinking,
you could maybe
if you did like a multiple owners of airports
with a private plane. And like your private plane with capacity of 100, and you all pay a little bit to be in this private plane and go wherever the hell you want.
Yeah,
kind of.
But you're not really flying anywhere.
It's not to think about now, but like,
well,
okay, maybe that's
the
how you
lightning transaction, isn't it? Almost in some ways, so you can.
Yeah.
To be fair to you, that is still the best analogy for Lightning Network. It's the airplane one.
Yeah,
it's better, and a lot of people have made it understandable. So maybe because that sounds quite complex from there's lots of.
Thought you were tech.
Sort of, I am, but I'm speaking for these guys weren't. I just saw them glaze over.
Yeah, okay.
But for me, I understand it. But maybe they need an airport analogy, or ingrained in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, channel splicing. Did you touch on splicing?
Yeah, sorry.
Are we literally going to go for everyone?
Well, these are all the different times things that are generally little.
What time is it? How long have we been going?
Basically the same.
It's 11:30. We're going for an hour and 20.
Oh, right, quite sure.
An hour and 20. That's peak time.
Splicing is another thing being worked on. It's kind of similar to submarine swaps, but it basically allows you to transfer funds from on-chain into a Lightning channel. So you don't have to close the channel. You can basically add more funds in or vice versa.
Cool.
So there is lots of things being built. I know there's then like the eCash stuff as well that people are trying to build around. So you can kind of go in and out of using Lightning to then go into an eCash. So Cashew, Cali's thing. Mm-hmm. That will allow you to then make transactions via eCash.
But that inherently is custodial, so that goes back to your first point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of it might be custodial.
So it'd be like that's almost like, let's say, Coin Corner customers being able to transact with each other that don't go over anything. But actually, if we've already got channels open and can transact via Lightning, then customers may as well transact over Lightning to each other. Or we just change the database thing like you do on PayPal to send into each other. But yeah, that's then a custodial, and it's not using the Bitcoin network really to do anything.
There's also the unknown of, we don't know if Lightning is the one that will scale Bitcoin. Payment channels might not be the one.
What's it called, Barack?
I'm
interested to see what his proposal is. I've just not seen that yet, have we, properly?
No.
That he thinks this is going to be better, solves all the problems Lightning has, and a new layer too.
So Lightning might be here blazing the trail for scaling Bitcoin, but it actually might be a different solution that becomes the dominant one.
Scales it.
Okay.
Although it is, even with Lightning in its current capacity, with them particular bits we've touched on there, it's already scalable to the globe in that respect. Even in a non-custodial capacity, there is options to do that and scale to a decent scale. Yes, it has other issues and other things in there as well, but scalability is there now.
It's one of those, you want to see it, don't you? It's all theoretical.
Yeah.
I want to see it scale.
People
can run the maths and stuff.
We've kind of seen it though. Right?
Yeah, but you look at total capacity.
But the capacity is, the capacity for me is irrelevant. It's the volume of transactions.
Yeah.
So you can have one Bitcoin capacity, but you could do 24 Bitcoin volume day because you come back some.
Yeah, and how many on chain do you save by doing that?
And I think the scalability we've seen already in the last 2 or 3 years, we've definitely seen, because our usage of Lightning has gone up. 50% on-chain transactions, 50% Lightning. So we've took 50% of our on-chain transactions now off-chain and allowing Bitcoin to free that block space up for other people. So Lightning has enabled scaling at a smaller scale. But that scale is increasing, I think, over time.
And I think it has to take time as well. If Lightning onboarded 12.5% of the world right now, I'd be pretty worried.
Yeah. But nothing happens like that. Everything happens slowly in time. So you've got to give it time.
Cool.
Classic.
That answers the question.
Thanks, Zach.
Good question.
Thoroughly answered.
My 5 minutes of prep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, we're putting a lot of reliance on that AI, Mikey.
I had to think of that.
Jeez. We've had people outside cut this chair. Every time I move it, squeaks.
Yeah, I didn't think I'll get the chair out.
You don't think it will?
I listen back. Did anyone listen back?
No.
It was quite funny in a few spots. I think I told Molly.
Yeah.
But you laughed one time, Danny, and the AI kind of glitched and you sounded like it was a demon laugh.
Oh, nice.
More of that.
Yeah. Like you can hear it occasionally.
Trying to figure out what's going on.
So it might have trouble with this chair.
An extra surprise.
It was good though. Yeah, it was good.
Cool.
Right.
Thank you guys.
Let's go.
Boom.
Long episode.
Boom. Peace.